We begin the current daf, Masechtas Mila daf Gimel. Begin 4 lines down at the top of the Yom. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we open up this perek, this Masechta, regarding the topic of this Masechta, that of Me'ila. Now the Mishnah opened up the opening case, which there was a definition in our Mishnah regarding the halachas of Me'ila, which specifically, let's say, we talk about kachim, it starts off as kach Hashem, it's Hashem's, it is a prohibition of Me'ila, misappropriation of one more to have benefit from it. Now, generally, when the Zrika is done, then that finishes the atonement, then it becomes permitted for Kohen to partake of it, and then there's no more halacha me'ila. But that's what our Mishnah said, but there's certain halachas, like, for example, kach Kachna was slaughtered in the south, where that is not done appropriate type of shechita. The Zrika is not going to go ahead and remove it from me'ila, and therefore it's still going to have the halacha of me'ila. Now, regarding that case of these kachim that became invalidated, let's say, where it was slaughtered in the south, so therefore there's going to have halacha me'ila, so halacha then was machlekes, if it was alu, if it was put on top of the mizbeach, where sometimes the mizbeach is mekadosh, it sanctifies things even though they're not fit for it, but after the fact, the halacha is lo yirdu, regarding these cases, specifically that of when it was nishchat abadarm, then if it's put on top of the mizbeach, is it yirdu not? So Rabbi said, im alu yirdu, even if it was put on the top, you take it down. Vizi says, im alu lo yirdu. So now the Gemara asks from the halacha of our Mishnah that said, these kachim, those slaughtered in the south, the halacha is that there's going to be me'ila. So according to Rabbi Yisib, that makes sense, because he says that it still has a sanctity in the sense of, it's not like it was totally just killed, where it just died, because if you put it up, you're not going to take it down. But according to Rabbi, that it's like as if it was strangulated, as if it's just a dead animal, and has no sanctity, so, and that's why you even take it down, so why would there be halacha of me'ila? So that's what the Gemara answers here. What does that Mishnah mean when it says Moyel Amen? It means Midrabban, it means rabbinically. The Gemara says, is there such a thing? And the Gemara says, yes. Because there's a teaching of Ula Amr Rabbi Yechon, which is what we're focusing on the daf, which he said that, yeah, an animal that Kachim Shemesu, if it died, then it's going to be not going to have biblical Me'ila. Biblical Me'ila? The inference of his teaching is saying, but there's going to be a rabbinic Me'ila. So that the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that's halacha of our Mishnah. And that the Gemara says, no, because in our Mishnah it's talking about it wasn't really, just didn't die. It was slaughtered in the south, which is fit for Kachim Kalim, and therefore you would have thought, okay, maybe over there there's Me'ila, but not by Kachim Shemesu. That's where you need the teaching of Me'ila. Now, additionally, the Gemara asked, but even the case of when it just dies, that we learned, well, we said there was different interpretations in that Gemara and the Rishayim, if it meant, oh, we already learned that in the Mishnah, or to the contrary, you see, not like that. That's the interpretation we're going to go with, which is we call Rashi or the Mefarish, says that, oh, what do you mean? You see that from the Mishnah later on that it says regarding the halachas of Chatas, but that there's going to be Me'ila. But regarding other Karbanas, there's not going to be Me'ila, which is not like the teaching of Ula. And that's what the Gemara says, no, it's by old Karbanas. Just the Gemara the Mishnah had to specifically tell you regarding Chatas, that even though over there that there's going to be rabbinic Me'ila, but it applies to all Karbanas. Now that theme is where the Gemara continues asking on Ula and says, what, v'chatas shemesa mi'isba me'ila? But what is that really so that, but regarding a chatas that is dying, that the halacha is going to have a rabbinic me'ila? Which is, well, as we explained for this last Gemara's answer, and additionally is part of Ula's whole interpretation, where he says any animal, any carbon that dies, it's going to have rabbinic me'ila. Is that so that one of the cases of chatas shemesa is going to have me'ila? But what's not, which is actually a brisa, chatas hamesis. There's 5 types of carbon chatas that have to be left to die. Or any chatas that dies. Or ma'is ha'helchis li'am ha'melech, or money that's being thrown to the Dead Sea. For example, if let's say you find it after you already got atonement, so what are you going to do with the monies? It has the sanctity, but you can't use it, can't make a donation, so it goes to the Yam HaMelech. So regarding those chatas ha'mesis, or these monies that have to be thrown away, the halach is loy nanan. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to benefit from it because there's a prohibition, but v'loy moylan, but there's no halach of me'ila, even rabbinically. And how do we know that when it says loy me'ila means even rabbinically? Because you can't say it means that there's no biblical me'ila, but there is rabbinic me'ila, because then how are we going to understand the statement over here? You're saying that that you're not allowed to have benefit rabbinically because it's only a rabbinic prohibition. So how are you going to explain, but there's going to be me'ila? Obviously, what we're saying is that, yeah, you're not allowed to benefit rabbinically, but there's not going to be me'ila even rabbinically. Because like we're saying, it's just an iser, and there's no me'ila. But that's difficult at Ula, where he said that, what do you mean? There's all these cases, even if the chatas actually dies, especially here we're saying where it's designated for death, that there's going to be rabbinic me'ila. For sure here there should be rabbinic me'ila, and here we see that loy me'ila. So Ami, they said, no, actually, it's not a difficulty because chatois ameses, since it's never designated for sacrifice, it's earmarked for death because you already had atonement, let's say, with another one or the person died, whatever the case is. So even when it's still alive, like this case of this, what this Bryce is really talking about, people already separate from it because we know we don't use these animals for hakrava. And for sure, after it's actually dead, where it's repulsive, people are not going to have benefit from it. So therefore, we didn't have to make the rabbinic decree milin. You're right. That's why it's saying this loy milin, even rabbinically. Lafuka, that comes to exclude all other kachim where they're generally brought for hakrava. That hechad demechayim deloy bedilim, and when it's alive, people do not separate themselves from it. We had to make the rabbinic gezerah of meila after it's dead, to prevent of when it is alive, which has the biblical halacha meila, and therefore it's not a refutation of this teaching of Ula. Going back to, we introduced the teaching of Ula because it was the explanation of the answer for Rabbah that shouldn't be contradicted from the Loch of our Mishnah, which seemed to indicate that there's Me'ila in these cases where he holds him all the Yerdu, but all the Yerdu means to say it's like just dead, so why is the Me'ila? We said, oh, it's Rabbinic Me'ila, which that was the resonation with this halacha of Ula Rabbi Yechanan. Nothing more goes back to their Machlaikas. It's very Rav Yisuf LaRabbah. Rav Yisuf continues asking our Rabbah, again, he said in these cases, let's say with the Kachi Kachi was slaughtered in the south, where it's supposed to be slaughtered in the north, that Amolu Yerdu, he asked on him, Chada Migechada, one from one, Vachada Migechada, and then another one from another one. What that means to say is that he didn't find an explicit one Mishnah to ask the question on him until he had an inference of three different Mishnayas, one a derivation of the other, and the third one then is going to tell us regarding a deviation of the place of where it's supposed to be slaughtered, and still it's going to tell us, not like Rabbah, that Olu LaYerdu, that Abu'enabu comes down. Now, these three Mishnayas are Masechta Tzvachim. Two of them are in Perek Chatzis Aif, and the third one is the Perek after that. Now, the first Mishnah starts off talking about Chatzis Aif was done like how an Oyla Sa'if is supposed to be, which the Chatzis Aif and the Oyla Sa'if, one's supposed to be on top of the Mizbech, which the Mizbech was split in half, one's supposed to be on the bottom. Or let's say Oyla Sa'if was done like how a Chatzis Aif is supposed to be. Now, the Gemara over there explains that all those cases they were talking about over there, that they did one like the other, means to say that they changed where the Malika is, which is like what the slaughtering is of the bird carbon, and also the place of where the blood was thrown. So the Mishnah that over there tells us, but Kulan, all these cases, even though they deviated and they did it in the wrong place, it's not considered like an avela where it's just the bird died inappropriately. Rather, it has a halacha like Malika was done to it. And therefore, Ein Matam Magad Mabes Abli, although a dead bird that wasn't properly slaughtered, if someone eats from it, it transmits tumit to him when it's in his throat. Here it's not going to be considered like an avela, where if it wasn't appropriate Malika, then it would be like just like dead bird carcass. It's not like that. So it's not going to transmit tum when it's in the person's throat. And also, and if someone has benefit from it, the halacha is going to be that it's going to be considered misappropriation because it didn't lose its sanctity. Except if the individual did the avoida of the bird chatas beneath the chuta sikra, which is the red string that separates the mizbeach, where he did it on the bottom half, which is kamaisa chatas aif l'shem chatas, which actually how the chatas is supposed to be, and he did it with the intention of being a chatas, which is really saying that if he did the chatas aif according to its appropriate mitzvah, which is supposed to be on the bottom half of the mezmeach, then there in that case there's not going to have halacha of me'ila because it was done appropriately and you finished the avoda. Once you finish the avoda, it's actually permitted for the kanim, which is like we said in the halacha of our previous mishnah, where it's going to have the halacha that it's now going to be permitted. Now, although in that Mishnah itself, it said that if the Oyla Sa'if, which is supposed to be done on top, was also done on top, it doesn't say that Ein Ma'ilim Ba. That's only because the carbon oil is totally burnt on the Mizbech. So even when it's done according to its mitzvah, there's no permissibility for Kahanim, because they don't need from it at all. There, it's going to retain its halacha Me'ila. But by the Chata Sa'if, when it's done on the bottom, so then it's going to be, that's the one exception that's not going to have Me'ila. That's Mishnah number one. Now, Bektoni Yilavei, then the next Mishnah continued on that theme and said as follows: Kol shayi psula b'kodesh, anything that had an invalidation in the sanctified area, mean to say, where it only had its problem regarding the carbon in the act of kachim itself. For example, if let's say in the act of maliko or the act of the hazoy sadam, the throwing of the blood, in what was done in the avoda, that was an invalidation. So there, ain't a matam begadim abeis ablia. So that's not going to transmit tumah to the person's garment when it's in his throat, which here it's a derivation from a derivation number one. Because what it's trying to infer is saying that just like we learned in the previous Mishnah, that all those cases are not going to transmit to a person's garments when in his throat was talking about when there was a change of the place where the malik was supposed to be, as we explained over there, where those are supposed to be done on the top, we're done on the bottom, bottom, we're done on the top. So he wrote in Mishnah number 2, when it's saying whatever has a psula by kodesh is not going to be tama in the bukadim, what does it mean that there's a sheet that's a psula by kodesh? It means that if you change the place where the malik was supposed to be. Now, and whatever was not an invalidation in the sanctified element, for example, if let's say it was something that happened before, where the person brought the carbon beyond the time when they were supposed to bring it, or the wing had dried up already from the bird, or its leg got chopped off, where that's invalidation, nothing to do with the avodah. It happened before he even came to do the avodah and to do the malika. Then that's going to be already have been invalid, and therefore it's going to be considered like a nevela. It's not going to be doing any avodah on it, and it's going to transmit to the garment when the person who's swallowing it in his throat. That's mission number 2. Now, Biktani, we learned in mission number 3 in the next parak, it says, so kol shay psul b'kodesh, anything that was an invalidation in the sanctified element, im olu lo yerdu. If it was put on tamizbech, it doesn't get taken down. This is the second chad mikay chad, because we're following now in the inference of the previous Mishnah. Just like in the previous Mishnah, Mishnah number 2, we said whatever psul by kodesh is not going to transmit tumah to the person's garment in his throat. It's talking about that when you change the place of the malika, because we derived that from Mishnah number 1, which is the beginning of avodah. So he wrote in Mishnah number 3, when it's saying kol shei psul by kodesh im olu lo yerdu, it's talking about shinu makam of the malika, where you change the place where the malika is supposed to be. And what does it say? Im olu lo yerdu, if you put it on the top, you don't take it down. So that's by bird karbanis. So the equivalent by bird karbanis, which change the place of malika, which is the beginning of the avodah, if it's saying im olu lo yerdu, so that's the same thing for the halacha of our Mishnah. When you change the placing of the shechita, which is the beginning of the avodah, it also would tell us im olu lo yerdu. So says the Gemara, says Rav Yosef to you, to the Rabbah. That's refutation of Rabbah, because that's exactly the case they were discussing, and it's saying Imal lo yerdu. Says the Gemara to you, yes, it's refutation of Rabbah. We obviously see, like Rav Yosef, that the halacha is Imal lo yerdu. Now says the Gemara, v'ha de pliga bar Rabbah Rav Yosef. This that we have this machlokes Rabbah and Rav Yosef regarding that they disagree regarding if there was a change of the place of the slaughtering. What type of validation is that if you put on top of the mizbech is going to be olu yerdu now, which was the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah was discussing regarding the context of Me'ila, which Rabbi and Yisuf having regarding you take it down, because Rabbi said, yeah, according to Yisuf, Me'ila means biblical Me'ila. According to Rabbi, he says, no, it could even be rabbinic Me'ila, and therefore it wasn't difficult him. But their machlikis was regarding him olu yerdu not. Says the Gemara, their machlekes was pshita le Rabbi Elazar. It was obvious, Rabbi Elazar didn't have this question. It was obvious to him that what the halacha was in the case of im olu yerdu anat. How do we know this? Because the Amr Rabbi Elazar, he said the following halacha. He said, Eilas bamas yachad, the carbon eila of a private altar, which the Mishnah Masechet Zevachim teaches in the last parak of Yudbeis and Beis, that there are certain differences between a private altar and a bamas tzibur, that which is like the tzibur's mizbech. Where, for example, a private altar doesn't have halacha of having to be done the avodah in the north, doesn't need a avodah of tenufa, of elevation, or hagasha, bring it to the corner, doesn't require any reish nechayach, doesn't get invalidated by taking out a certain perimeter of a certain area. Now, which those apply by the bamat sibur, which is generally what we call the azara, in mizbeach, in the base of Mikdash. Now, Ula was discussing a case of someone sanctified an animal to sacrifice an oila on his own private altar at a time when private altars were permitted. But then he changed his mind, and then he brought it into the Azara. Oh, he says, you know what, I want to bring it by the main Mizbeach, that of the Tzibur, to sacrifice over there. So says Rabbi Elazar, he continued to Medbeis, he says, if that's the case, call two mechitzes. So then the walls of the Azara take a hold and capture L'chol Davar, that now it transforms and has the sanctity as if it was originally sanctified to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, where now it's going to require all the halachas of a bamas tzibur. It's going to have to be done in the north. Anything regarding something that's a kachem Mizbeach, it becomes invalidated if it leaves now the Azara, and if it's done in the south, and all the other invalidation that apply to kachem Mizbeach will now apply to that one that was originally sanctified as a oilas bamas yachid. Now, in addition, regarding that halacha, but by Rabbi Elazar. But then he had the following question. Oilas bamas yachid shechnisa. So this case that I described, that if it was a private altar, oila, but then was brought into the Azara, where now it suddenly takes on those halachas, shenifsala, but then if it became invalidated, where if he slaughtered this oilas bamas yachid after it came into the Azara, he slaughtered it into the south. Now, Alu, and then the kohen subsequently put it on top of the mizbeach, whether by mistake or deliberately. It wasn't supposed to be because it's invalid, but it was put on top. Ma hasheyerdu, what's the halacha? Do you take it down or not? So says the Gemara, isn't it obvious? And the fact that he asked this one question regarding the case of which it wasn't an originally done for the mizbeach and nazar, it was originally supposed to be done as a private altar, which is mechlal the idach, which is. It's a step a further away from the primary one, which was supposed to be done on in the mizbeach of the bamas tzibur. Isn't it obvious that pshitli was obvious to him ikarabi krev yisiv? Because why is he going one step further? Meaning, he first would ask him the primary halacha. You say, okay, what's the halacha in this case? Amol yerduna. He's going a step further. He's like, this that I'm telling you that the oilas bamas yachud, which is done on the outside, you bring it inside, it takes on those halachas. Now, I want to know regarding if you would put that one on top, which was invalidated, would you take it down or not? Now, that's a compound of what the original one, what's Allah Ha'ilas Pnim? And the fact he's not asking that case, obviously, because that was obvious to him. Now he's questioning, what would be the case of which is supposed to be similar to it? Would it have that halach of it or not? So says the Gemara, no, it's actually not necessarily that, according to Rabbi Elazar, it was obvious to him if the halacha was a Rabba or a Yesod. Rather, Chadam, he's asking one case regarding the Oilas Bamas Yachid, Migai Chada, from the other case of the Oilas was supposed to be done inside, Kimi Baile, he was asking, what was his question? As follows. He was saying, because I could ask it on either opinion. I don't know if the halacha is like Rabbi Avisif. But even in each one, I could still then ask, what would the halacha be in my case of Oilas Bamas Yachid that was subsequently brought in? Because I could tell you as follows. Ad Ken Lekam Rabbi Hassan, where do we find Rabbi saying over there by the Oilas that was a regular Oilas, was supposed to be done inside the Azara? Which, if you deviated in its slaughtering or if it went out, im olu yerdu, that he says, okay, if it was put on top of his bech, you got to take it down. That's only because mechitza ketikna pasla. Within the halacha is that the walls, as they're supposed to be, is invalidating. Because initially, when you sanctified it, that was supposed to be done inside the azara, as the regular carbon oil is supposed to be done, to sacrifice inside, which that's the appropriate walls. So, therefore, when you deviate, that's why it's going to be pasla. But when you have Oilas Bamas Yachid, where when you originally sanctified it, was Shalaika Tikna, was not the way it's as it usually is supposed to be. It was done that it should be slaughtered on the outside. So therefore, maybe later on when you do it, even though you bring it inside, but if you slaughter in the south or you take it outside, that Lai Pasla, you're right. I'm telling you, it has the same invalidations as inside, but it's not going to be invalidated to the effect of if you take it onto the top, maybe you're not going to take it down. Because although we're saying it will now become pasul if it's in the south or if it goes out, that's if, let's say, you initially, when you bring it into the azara, when it's done ketikna, meaning to say that that's going to be invalidated. But maybe here, okay, it wasn't supposed to be. So therefore, although it's going to have the halacha, maybe we'll say there am allah yer. Whereas regarding the regular case, when you do it inside, no, that's going to be a full-fledged invalidation because that's initially what sanctification was for. That's what I could ask in Rabbah's opinion. I don't know, or I could tell you the opposite. I feel Rabbi Yosef. The Amar, even according to Rabbi Yosef, he says by the Eilat that was supposed to be done inside, if you deviate, he says, I'm also loiterid. If you put on top of his bech, it doesn't get taken down. Oh, the reason is because since when it was sanctified, it was to be sacrificed in the walls of the Azara, which that's Mechitzas, Mechitza Ketikna, when the walls are as they're supposed to be, then Kulta. So therefore, the Mizbech captures it where the halacha is going to be. If you put it on the top, it's not going to take it down. Because this is what it was designated for originally. So it will take it, even though it becomes invalidated. But regarding the Oilas Bamas Yachid, where originally its sanctification was Shalai Ketikna, not the way it's supposed to be, it was really nothing to do with the Mizbech. It was supposed to be done on the person's private altar. So although subsequently it's brought inside, but that's Mechitza Shalika Tikna. That's not originally what its walls were supposed to be. So then maybe if it goes out and if it's lower in the south, maybe they would tell you actually also it would be Teired because Loi Kulta, because maybe the Mizbech does not capture it because this wasn't its base. It wasn't originally sanctified to be the Mizbech. And therefore maybe, since it wasn't designated for it, therefore it's not going to take it. And says the Gemara, so take it. The question still remains, and from the fact that he's asking the question in both cases, obviously that the change of the place of the slaughtering of even the Oilas Pnim was not obvious to him. It was like Rabbi Rabbi Yisa, because we could actually explain that his question was one out of the other one, meaning I don't know if Rabbi Rabbi Yisa, but either one, I can still ask my question, which would go in either extreme, according to either one, what's the halacha by the Oilas Bamas Yachid? And again, therefore, it's not obvious that he held like either one, Rabbi or Rabbi Yisa. Now, continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, which we're describing that we're actually for kachim kachim kalim, as we're going to see, is actually, as our Mishnah described, they actually have different functioning, but the zrika is what concludes the avodah. So let's say regarding kachim kachim, so that's when it suddenly makes it non-me'il anymore, because it's not kach Hashem, the kamar permitted to utilize, with contrast to like the cases that we're describing, if it becomes possible before, and so then the zrika is not making a kasher. Now regarding this halacha, the Gemara says as follows, Amar Rav Gidla Marav, says zrika's pigel, regarding where the halacha is, someone has a mind when he's slaughtering an animal, that he's going to have it eaten beyond its time, which that's halacha of making the carbon into pigel. And additionally, when he's throwing the blood of the carbon, he has a mind that he wants it to be eaten beyond its time, which is, makes the carbon into pigel. Now, when you do this zrika, that then makes it permanent that this carbon now, if someone eats from it, that there's going to be a punishment of karas. That type of zrika sadam, eino moitzi midei me'ila b'kachi kachim. That does not remove the animal, the carbon, from having halachas of me'ila regarding kachi kachim. In other words, the zrika of pigel is not so significant that it should remove the meat of the kachi kachim from having the halacha me'ila, like we said in the Mishnah regarding a kosher zrika. There the halacha is, once you throw the blood appropriately, then the meat is already permitted to the kanim, so now there's no halacha me'ila. But that's what Rav is telling us. But here, since this zrika was a zrika of pigel, so actually the meat does not get removed from me'ila, because now it's not fit for kanim anymore. To the contrary, this is actually what solidifies it as halacha of pigel. Now, inversely related, actually, this zrika, if it was done for pigel, when he's throwing the blood, he's having in mind the coin, hey, I want this to be eaten beyond its time, it also cannot bring on the halacha of me'ila, specifically of the emurim of the sacrificial parts, but kachim kalim, by the lower level kachim, which, that's like we said in the Mishnah, where if it would be a kosher zrika, the halacha is that by kachim kalim, it actually doesn't have me'ila yet in the beginning, because it's actually not considered kach Hashem yet. It's only after blood is thrown that then the emurim have me'ila, but there's no me'ila by the meat, because that's permitted for the owners to eat. And that's what he's saying is that, no, here it's not considered a bona fide valid zrika in regard to the laws of me'ila at all, whereby kachim kachim, it's not going to take it away from me'ila, which is classically the halacha, and by kachim kalim, it's not going to create the halacha of me'ila, because this is a lower level, it's not a good zrika in that way, because it's a zrika of a machshava, of pigel, which is actually making it mefugel, and therefore it's not going to go ahead and create it for the halachas of me'ila. Now, Yisav Abaye b'komal alo shmaitis, Abaye was sitting, and he was saying over this teaching of Rav Gidol. And Eisvir Rapapal Abaye, Papa asked Abaye, on this teaching of Gidol from the following halacha in the Mishnah Maseches Menachos. Mishnah says, "Hashecher es ha-toyde lefnim." Someone slaughtering the carbon toyde inside the Azar, where it's supposed to be done. Carbon toyde is a Thanksgiving offering, primarily for people that were saved from certain difficult travail situations, which is a halacha is he brings a carbon, and with the carbon there are certain breads that are also brought along with that. So he's slaughtering the toyde, the Thanksgiving offering, inside the Azar, but v'lach mechutz lechem, the breads are out of the walls of where they're supposed to be. So that says the Mishnah lekidish es halechem. So it's not going to sanctify the breads, because the pasuk says al zevach ha-toyde chalas, on the carbon of the toyde should be the breads. Al means nearby. It's not nearby. It's out of the walls. Therefore, the breads do not become sanctified. Similarly, shachta achle karma paneh betanif. Let's say slaughtered the carbon toyde before the breads got a chance to crust up the outside of the breads when they're in the ovens, and vafilu karma kulan. Even all of them got crusted. They're all considered baked. Chutz me'achas men, except one of them. Like kiddush alechem, the breads are not sanctified because you need at the time of the slaughtering that all the bread should be fed for consumption, and they're not, so therefore they're not sanctified. Continues the Mishnah, shachta chutz l'smana. If let's say, at the time that he was slaughtering the carbon taida, he had a mind that he wants it to be eaten beyond its time, or v'chutz b'kayme, beyond its place. Now, the assumption that the Gemara's question is that when we're talking about that he had the machshava of pigel, was not only during the time of the Shechita, that even when he was throwing the blood, he also had this machshava of pigel. Says the Mishnah, Kiddush Alechem, the bread is going to be sanctified for what? For this, that the halacha is going to be, that it's going to be sanctified that there will be halacha me'ila. Now, obviously, it's not sanctified that it's kosher, because, to the contrary, the carbon becomes, like we're saying, pigel. He's having machshav or pasul of chutz l'mekayme, but what it means to say, it becomes sanctified that it sanctified that now if someone would go ahead and have benefit from it, he'd be violating the laws of me'ila, misappropriation. So it says, Rav Papa, Alma pigul ma'isila la de me'ila. We see, to the contrary, we see that the tithe is considered kachim kalim, it's a lower level sanctified carbon, and yet still we see that the zrika of pigul is creating a kachim ka malocha of me'ila. Now that's difficult on Rav Gidl. He said that no, this zrika, since it's zrika pikul, cannot bring it to me'ila by kachim ka. And here you see that it's going to have me'ila. So ishtik sabai was silent. Now kiasla kamid rabba, when he came from the rabba, so amalei, so rabba said to him that this question of Rav Papa is not difficult on Rav Gidl. And he said the reason is because this that we're saying that the breads are going to be sanctified to have the laws of Me'ila is only like the words we're saying when he had the Machshava Pigel during the slaughtering, because actually he was silent Bezrika. At the time of the throwing of the blood, he did not have Machshava of Pigel. So therefore, it's not a bona fide Pigel by just the slaughtering itself, because to have considered Pigel is you have to do the Zrika also with the Machshava Pigel, according to the Mefarash, according to Pirush Rashi, and explained the Sugya. So therefore, that's why the bread's going to be sanctified and it's going to have a lach of me'ila. But the teaching of Gidl that says that no, it's not going to bring it to me'ila, that's when you're having a shavach of pigle by the zrika itself, which that's a bona fide pigle. Yeah, that wouldn't go ahead and make a me'ila. This halacha saying me'ila is because he was silent during the zrika. However, on this answer, the Gemara asks Amalei Rabashi LaRava. He says, but v'ama ula. We have in the following teaching of ula mesecht zvachim that b'megimla b'naf that says koimetz pigle, and that is if someone had in mind a machshava pigle, which is to, again, have it sacrificed or slaughtered or eaten, something, the consumption of the mizbeach of the person should be beyond its time. If he's having this machshava pigel at the time when he's doing the kemitza, which is the first avoid in the flower offering, similar to what shechita is by an animal carbon. So regarding such a kemitza, that he had a machshava pigel, shehelul gam mizbeach, which generally by the flower offerings, the rest of the what's called the shirayim are eaten, but the fistful is brought on top of the mizbeach. Now here, this was invalidated because he had machshava pigel, but still it was put on top of the mizbeach, this fistful. So that says, the Mishnah says this halach of ulo, that once the fires of the mizbeach took a hold of that kemitza, so the halach is paka pigula mimenu. So then it removes the pigel from these kemitza, because the fires of the mizbeach already took a hold of it, like almost kashered it. Therefore, what the halacha is, that if, let's say, it bursts off the fire, sometimes the fire is bust and there's something comes flying off and this kemitza falls off the mizbeach, the halacha is, says Ula, that you would bring it back up. Now, the same thing would be also for the limbs of a carbon that had a machshava pigo, that were also put on top of the mizbeach. Once the fires take a hold of it, this teaching of Ula is saying that it's going to remove the halacha of pigo from it. Now, says the Gemara, v'kemitza hainu shechita. Now, the equivalent is that just like we're finding that the machshava pigel by kemitza itself makes it into pigel, that's what Ula is saying. That although it's a kemitza that made a pigel, but when you put it on top of the zbeach, it removes the pigel from it, and therefore you'll be able to put it back on. Now, the same thing is that obviously, that if someone has a machshava by pigel, by just shechita itself, which by an animal sacrifice is the equivalent of a flower offering sacrifice, they would also make it into pigel. So obviously we see that just by the slaughtering itself makes it into a bona fide pigel, because Ula is calling it pigel. And therefore, now let's go back to the previous Gemara's discussion. So if that itself makes it pigel, so obviously we're saying that kiddush halechem, it's still going to say that the breads are going to be sanctified, which is that it's going to bring it to the lachas of Me'ila. Obviously, that we see that no, bona fide pigel does bring kachem to Me'ila, even though, meaning to say that the Gemara had originally answered that no, it's not bona fide pigel, because you only had a machshava by the shechita, not by the zrika. So we see, what do you mean? We see that even the machshava just by the shechita, which by the kaimitz is the equivalent of the kemitza, just having a machshava by the kemitza makes it into pigel. Ula was saying, okay, but you put it on top, okay, then the fires take a hold of it, it makes it permitted, so too by the limbs. But one thing we see that's considered pigel, and if it's pigel, then, okay, that's difficult on Rav Gidl, because if it's considered a bona fide pigel, how does it go ahead and make the kiddush alechem, which is then fit for the halach of me'ila, when he's saying that when it's a void of pigel, it doesn't work for the halach of me'ila. So that amalei, so Rav Gidl will tell you that no, it's not difficult from over here. Because what is Ula saying? That koimitz pigel, it's not saying that with the kemitz itself you could go ahead and make it into pigel. Rather, what does koimitz pigel mean? Isur de meisel de pigel. It's a prohibition that will bring to pigel ultimately. Meaning, he started a pigel by the act of taking the fistful of the flower, which that's the beginning of pigel. But it's not considered a bona fide pigel until he does pigel also by the sacrifice, which that's the same thing by animal sacrifice. having a machshava pigel by the shechita, it's the beginning of the pigel. It's called the iser of pigel. And I'll have that machshava of pigel, but it's not a pigel gomer, it's not a bona fide pigel, when you only have the machshava by the slaughtering itself. And this sort of Gidl says that, oh, pigel cannot create me'ilah, that's by having machshava of the pigel by the zrika, which that's what makes it into a bona fide pigel, and therefore, but here we're saying that a pigel will go ahead and make it, it will again, two parts. Yes, it could become pigel with just the shechita or quote the kibitza, that's for the beginning stage of pigel, not pigel gomer. And this that we're saying that, oh, you see that even though you have machshava, a pigel by the shechita, it can make me'ilah, that's because not a bona fide pigel. What's bona fide pigel? Shechita and zrika, or by kmita and aktara, then it would not go ahead and create meila. That was the teaching of Rav Gidl. But then the Gemara continued on top of Dal Medav. But how could you say this? Because Baha, and this halacha that we just quoted from Ula, that says that by this case of kmita pigel, ktani, we learned, Ula said the following logic. He said, because imachair, maybe they pigel, if this kmitza, this machshava of pigel by the kmitza, brings other things to have the halacha pigel on them. In other words, the shirayim, the leftover flour from that flour offering, with just the machshava of kmitza itself, makes it into pigel. So hu atzmai, so says Ula. So then the fistful itself, loy kolshken, isn't it a kolshken? Which the Gemara in the Zvachim explains what exactly we're saying was as follows: if you're considering with this pigel of the fistful itself, that it's going to be like a bona fide pigel, and that you're not going to say that, because Ula is trying to provide support for his teaching, you're not going to say that, oh, once you put on top of the Mizbeach, that's going to remove the pigel from it, like all other pigel. So then how are you going to go ahead and say that it's going to make the rest of the flour, I mean the Shirayim, to have the Lach of pigel? What do you mean? You didn't do a bona fide Zrika, you didn't do a bona fide Haktara, which is the equivalent by the flour offering, which you have to have karatzaras akasha, karatzaras apostle. You have to have a bona fide avoided to go ahead and then finish the avoided to say that the machshava made the rest of it pigel. Rather, Ulu is proving his point, obviously, that it is going to remove the pigel from the kmitz itself when you put onto the fire mezbech, and through that it's going to bring that the shirayim will also be able to have the halacha of pigel. But one thing we see, what Ulu is saying, is obviously that the machshava of the kmitz itself is a bona fide pigel. And the same thing is, because that's what he's saying. He's saying that, oh, so it's going to make the rest pigel. So therefore, the same thing would be by having machshava by an animal sacrifice, but just the shechit itself, and that's going to make it bona fide pigel. So we're back to the question again. So we had in the previous halacha, Mishum Sechet Zmanachet, it says it's going to be Mekadosh to Lechem, which that we said means to say it's going to bring it to Me'ilo. That's the Vagan Rav Gidl. That's Rav Gidl. No, Hanami, here also. This that we're saying, oh, Ula is proving his point that if it's going to bring other things to pigel, obviously it itself is actually going to be permitted when you put on top of the fayz mezbech, because that concludes the avoda, and that's only how you get pigel when you do the all avodas, which we said in the previous daf. Now, how is it considered doing all the avodas if it's pigel itself? It's not valid. Obviously, it becomes valid. That's what he was proving the point. It becomes valid, and therefore that's what his halacha was saying. Paka bigula mimenu, from the kmitz itself, and it falls down, you'll put it back up. Now, so the Gemara's question was, oh, you see that, oh, it's making it into bona fide pigel. Says Rav Gidl, no, here also, isur de maisa de pigel. What we mean to say is, we're not saying that with the fistful itself is going to be a bona fide pigel. Rather, what we mean when we say that it's poga bikamitza, it means that, and then when you have machshava pigel by the haktara, then, yes, the thing itself, the kamitza, becomes actually permitted, because it's put under the fires, and only then would it be considered karzars akasha karzars apostle, that you did the avodah when you did it. How did you do it? What did you burn? You burnt nothing. No, you burnt something. Oh, because the fires in the mezbech are now quote unquote like kashrut. Therefore, olu that if it went down, you would put it back up. Now, however, it's not the what we start off with halacha that he had machshava by the pigel by the kmitza that itself makes into pigel. No, that doesn't. Like we were saying, it's only that now when you did the haktara, you also had in mind. Because the kmitza pigel is only issa that brings the pigel, but if what we're saying that the shirayim, the leftover, is going to have a bona fide lacha pigel, that's if you also only additionally have a machshava pigel by the aktara. So therefore, we still remain with the lacha begidla marav that the zrika pigel, the aktara pigel, that itself which makes it into the bona fide pigel, that will not be mitim meila from kachim kachim, and also like we were discussing, it will not create a lacha meila by kachim kalim, because that's not considered something of a bona fide Zriko or Aktara, because it's a lower level down, because this is something that's actually creating pigle. How can we say that this is something that somebody that's coming to permit when it's actually something that's coming to invalidate? And therefore, that's not going to have a halacha ramification like we said in the laws of Me'ilah.